Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Yes, always.
Do we have to talk football with Tim? Can we talk about this bracket?
No, we can talk about it. We're going to get into a lot of football. Tim, how you doing? You safe?
Doing great. How are you?
What's protocol for you guys right now? Are you staying at home? I know.
Yeah.
What's your role?
So my kids are on spring break, and we actually, prior to all of this, made a decision not to go somewhere for spring break, which is kind of abnormal for us. As you guys know, I kind of have a crazy, you know, travel situation during the football season. And, you know, when the kids are off, sometimes we'll, you know, go on a little vacation, do something like that. And we decided not to this year. Not really sure why, but we did. So we have been social distancing at home. So we've actually, we've kind of done something. We've watched a movie every night. You know, we're not big, you know, TV watchers or movie watchers, but so far we've watched Hoosiers, Rudy. What was the other one? I forget. What was the one we watched prior to that? Oh, the kids picked out like a Jumanji thing or whatever. That was the worst one of the group so far, is one the kids chose.
The original Jumanji?
Original? Yeah, nothing wrong with Jumanji.
No, like this recent one with like the rock.
I don't like the new one.
Yeah, I didn't even give it a chance.
Yeah, I haven't seen
one. Oh, and we also watched Peanut Butter Falcon. That was one we watched. Good story in Peanut Butter Falcon, but language probably a little much. Anyhow, the classics though, Hoosiers.
Yeah,
and,
I'm impressed.
And Rudy have been pretty good on the docket. We, you know, just looking at like sports movies and stuff. So, The Natural. I'm thinking we might have to watch that at some point. Field of Dreams. We haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, that's a must.
Yeah. So I'm open to any suggestions on good family movies. Oh, the kids after Rudy last night. They liked it, but and they're looking for something funny.
School of Rock? Anyone?
School of Rock. There you go. That's a good suggestion.
Have you seen that one, Tim?
What is it?
School of Rock.
School of Rock?
Yeah, Jack Black. You gotta
put it on the list.
That's definitely.
To me, it's a wide range of family. Yeah. Family and ages.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Clean. It's good.
I'm going to say that's a double thumbs up. Move that to the top of your list.
I would definitely agree with that.
That one's age appropriate for a 10-year-old, you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
The kids are 12.
Probably
in the class,
12.
In theory.
Okay.
I'm not saying all the actors who played those kids were actually those ages, but it's a group of 12-year-olds, right? And this is Jack Black at his absolute best, I think.
All right, good. Yeah, so we've just been. We've just been kind of doing our own thing and not really, we haven't really seen anyone. So we haven't gotten to that point where like our kids are like, "Hey, I haven't seen any of my buddies yet." But, you know, look, in all seriousness, I hope, you know, obviously it seems like so much changes every single day, you know, when this kind of the social distancing started, there were so many, just, you know, restaurants, bars still open, right? And then, you know, I think there was a reaction to close them down. So hopefully people are taking it seriously. And I do have a relative in Illinois, a healthy you know, 43-year-old guy who has it and is in the hospital. And so it is no joke.
Well, our thoughts are with your relative, and hopefully he'll be okay. He'll get through this. Let's start with how do you feel, and how excited are you that you do not have to address me as Mr. on this show?
Well, Darren, as you guys know, there was a 0% uh-huh. chance of Tom Brady coming here. I mean, and I never wavered.
You might have gotten happy
you
feet a couple times.
You belong in that Geico commercial as Pinocchio, or what was the name?
I mean,
Pinocchio?
Tim, you should probably buy some Rolexes for your O-line. The O-line kept you safe.
Yeah, they did. The funny thing is you know, the stuff that was out there would make me a little nervous about the 0% proclamation, but I guess just like from a football perspective, from the team perspective, from the fact that like you don't want to get, you know, left, you know, at the dance without a partner. All of those different factors, I just felt like, look, Ryan Tannehill wants to be here. They certainly like him, and if it's not for Brady, then they would want him, and they may even prefer him to Brady. And, you know, Diana Rossini, who, you know, her assignments throughout the season kind of had her at a number of Titans games, and, you know, she was having those reports. You know, I know that she had some stuff, you know, maybe not super strong in terms of, hey, this is definitely happening, but it seemed like the Titans had turned their attention to Ryan Tannehill and away from Brady. Look, I just think it makes the most sense. And, you know, I had brought up Tampa a number of times, you know, to you guys, because I think they are believed to be a team that did a significant economic study on the impacts of, you know, Brady to their franchise. And it looks like, you know, that's probably why he's going to end up making a lot of money from them.
Yeah, the guy who really knocked it out of the park, and you're right, I don't want to take anything away from Diana, but to me, Jeff Darlington is the one who really knocked it out of the park on this story, because he was the one who was very adamant in his reporting of saying Brady's not coming back to New England, right? And there were because most people, Tim, I feel like, I think we've kind of broken down, as much as we talked about it, how our listeners felt, that I think a lot of people didn't even really want to talk about it because they didn't believe for a minute Brady would leave the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would say this. Just like, you know, Diana had been assigned to a number of Titans games, you know, you just go look back in the season, you know, Jeff had been in New England quite a bit. And, you know, you just look at, you know, Jeff Darlington's reporting, and I believe he's the one that broke the story with Ryan Tannehill. You know, Jeff Jeff had, you know, a pretty good week in terms of, you know, being ahead of the curve, you know, on that stuff. And, you know, ESPN kind of gets a lot of heat sometimes. And, you know, obviously it's a big company when we've got a bunch of different reporters. And but, you know, whether it was Chris Mortensen way, way back or Adam Schefter back in August, you know, about the potential of Brady leaving and then how Jeff has been on the story. Yeah, I think that ESPN should feel good about, you know, how we covered it. And look, I kind of always felt like the best situation for Brady and the best situation for New England was for them to get back together. Thought that, you know, the Chargers, legitimate option for him. You know, I was aware of, you know, kind of Tampa's interest. And, you know, I'm a little bit surprised that he would go to Tampa. You know, I mentioned to you guys before, like I know he's talked to Peyton Manning about this process. And I know Peyton's got a good relationship with Bruce Arians. And so, you know, there are certainly factors there that, you know, who knows how much of an influence they had on the decision. But, look, I'm surprised. And, you know, I think if you look at playing the Saints twice and what that team is going to look like, you know, Atlanta, I do think, ends up getting better. And I think some of the out-of-conference or out-of-division schedule that I've seen, I don't know, this is like slam dunk that all of a sudden Tampa is going to be this amazing football team because they have Tom Brady.
Gil Brandt put out something yesterday that we read. And essentially, Willie, help me with the wording. He said that Tom Brady's number one option
is no longer on the table.
Is no longer on the table for him. Who do you think?
Remember, this was yesterday around this time, before he had committed to Tampa, and obviously after the dominoes had fallen with the Titans and Tannehill.
Like, somebody reached out to Gil on Twitter and said, "Hey, GB, tell me, you know, where Tom Brady's going." He said, "Well, his number one option is off the table now."
So was he not referring to New England?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. He did not
like
say.
That's possible. It's possible he
did not say that. But who do you think he was talking to?
I think that he maybe was referring to New England.
But this was after the statement had been made. Like, it had been clear.
It was after the statement had been made that he's not going there? Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe that's what he was referring to. If people are trying to connect the dots with Dallas, which maybe that's, you know, obviously with Gil's history with that organization. We thought it would be
Dallas or here. So you think it's more New England?
See, I don't think here. Like, I just, like, if the Titans really thought that they had, I mean, you kind of have a pretty good sense if you're going to be able to get the deal done with him. Like, you know, I know there's this legal tampering period and that, but like with the personal relationship, you know, that Brady and Vrabel have, I mean, you could easily be in a situation where you're like, "Hey, listen, like, we're going to go down this road with you, but like, you got to protect me a little bit in this process too. Like, would you come here? And would you come here? Like, are we talking about like this kind of money?" You know, like, I know no one would ever admit to that stuff going on, but listen, I was a, you know, bottom of the roster player, and you know, it was at the Redskins, and we drafted Jason Campbell, and it didn't look like I was in a good situation to make the team in Washington. So before I asked for my release from the Redskins, like, I went and found out what was going to be available to me, you know, and I was able to do that. And I was able to talk to people and get their word, like, "Hey, if you're on the street, we'll pick you up, you know, we'll claim you." So I just don't know how, like, Brady's making this decision prior to free agency with all of the information. All of the information. So, you know, I don't think that's the direction that the Titans wanted to go. I don't think they wanted to sign a 43-year-old quarterback and have to pay him whatever it is, $35, $40 million for next season. I don't think they did.
All right, we'll come back on the other side, get your reaction to Philip Rivers.
Maybe some more movie recommendations, too.
Movie recommendations.
Okay, yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins out of the Titans division. Joe Flacco out on the market. Would he be a serviceable backup for the Titans? And Jarrell Casey now traded to the Broncos. All that with Tim Hasselbeck and more. On the other side, Darren, Donnick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, Tim Hasselbeck on the line with us. We have a weekly chat with him starting at noon on Wednesdays. All right, we're each going to give you a suggestion. Hope you have a pen and paper before we get back into football talk. Mm-hmm. I will start things off because of your age group of your kids, and this happened over the holidays with my 8-year-old son. He just happened to stumble in. I stumbled across this movie, and I was like, "Man, I love this movie. I haven't seen it in a long time," and I just started watching it. He came in the room, and he doesn't really watch movies at all. He's 8. His attention span is very little.
Uh-huh.
And he really liked it. He hung around, and he watched it. So my suggestion is Big. Tom Hanks.
Oh interesting. I it was a suggestion I made last night, and we just didn't remember the appropriate nature of it. Was it so good? Was it good? I'm just trying to remember.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Family? You talking 100%? About for the family? Oh,
that
yeah.
That's for a sure. Big thumbs up. Big thumbs. That's a great one.
Yep, I remember that one.
All right, Willie?
Corona tie-in with Tom Hanks as well. Okay, good.
Yep.
Oh, that's I hadn't thought about that.
Rita's not in it, but Tom is.
I've waffled a little bit, but I would say, and this is a good suggestion we just got on Twitter, to have they seen Miracle?
No.
Ooh, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. That's a can't miss. 40-year anniversary of it. I think you said, you know, your family reasonably follows the hockey team a little bit. They will love it.
Oh, I mean, listen, I grew up, our next-door neighbor growing up was Steve Nelson, a longtime linebacker for the New England Patriots. One of his good buddies was Michael Ruzioni. So I had many summer afternoons with the Ruzioni family, Nelson family, my family, pool party, barbecues growing up. So, yeah, well aware.
Okay.
Can't miss.
It doesn't have to be sports. It can be
anything. No, it doesn't have to be sports. Does not have to be sports.
Okay, I'll give you one of my all-time favorites. Have they seen Hook with Robin Williams?
No.
That's a good one.
See, here's what you got to realize. There are very few, like the only movies you guys could have recommended that have been seen, like they've seen The Sandlot, and they've seen Little Giants probably. But like, yeah, we're not big movie people, so like there's a good shot that no one's seen. So Hook.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I had
The Sandlot.
I had The Sandlot on my list. That was next.
Yeah,
behind
yeah,
Big.
Hook is great. It's one of my favorites. Robin Williams is Peter Pan, and Dustin Hoffman is Captain Hook. That's a good one.
All right. This is really good, and there's a really good chance that all of these are seen before I talk to you guys next week.
There you go.
Well, we'll come back at you. This is great. I mean, this is the reality we face, right? We're all making lists of some sort of stuff that we wouldn't mind watching. We're going to have time to watch.
I mean, it's normally like if we were like say it was a snow day or something like that, you watch sports,
right.
You watch. You know the game that's on, and so it is a bizarre time. I keep having to kind of remind myself, like it doesn't matter where you live in the country, like it's you're in this like a blizzard or a hurricane or whatever. Those things can be regional. You know, the fact is that it's not obviously just this country. I mean, it's global. But yeah, and I don't know where you guys stand, but I feel like we might be doing this for a while.
No doubt.
Feels that way.
Unfortunately, yeah, I think you're right.
So, Tim, let's...
I was supposed to, in the middle of April, do the North Carolina spring game, and that's obviously been shut down. So, I mean, it's just, that's middle of April.
Do you know what you'll be doing?
He's going to be in September.
Tim, do you know what you'll be doing in terms of draft preparation, knowing that we know the draft will be different? We know that it's going to be very different, but it's still going to go on. So what's your role going to be, or are you still working that out?
You know what? I don't know, but I do know that, the original plan before any of this was that, I was going to be in Vegas for at least some of it. So, I don't know that you do that. I don't know that you go and have production at the event if there aren't going to be fans there. Part of the reason you go do, whether it's college game day or something like that, part of the reason you go do it, and you guys know this, like you guys don't go to Titans training camp on a day that, it's closed to fans.
Right, exactly.
You go when there are fans there to be, to kind of catch the energy and atmosphere, of the location. And so if there aren't going to be fans, at the draft, then I can't imagine other than, just the camera crews and their abilities to, to be able to capture it. I'm speculating, but I don't know that you do that.
Here's another thing we kicked around with the musical chairs of quarterback. Eventually, the Titans are going to probably look and see what's out there to be the backup to Tannehill. Now that that's the direction they've gone, the guy that's sitting there is Logan Woodside, who was on injured reserve the entire year, but got to play a lot in the preseason. I guess they like some of what he's got. But what would you try to budget for your backup quarterback? And is there anybody out there that you would say, for the right price, this could be the guy? And obviously today, Joe Flacco looks like he could be in the mix somewhere.
Yeah, so like Flacco could be in the mix somewhere. He's made a lot of money, so the budget for a guy that's won a Super Bowl that's backup, I think, would be significantly high. Look, I think you can pay less for a backup with Ryan Tannehill as your starter than you would have kind of probably wanted to
when you had Marcus Mariota, you know, not making a, you know, a second contract starting quarterback money, right? So I think because of the deal that, that Tannehill just signed, you probably have to be a little bit less expensive. And so, listen, maybe Logan Woodside's in a situation where, you know, he's a legitimate option and he's going to compete for the job. And he obviously, as backup quarterbacks go, was going to be, you know, considered inexpensive compared to other guys. I also think you can kind of just, you know, you can wait things out a little bit. I mean, you just, you go look at the situation, you know, with the Colts right now. So now, you know, I don't know exactly the situation without looking it up, but let's just say, for example, that, okay, Phillip Rivers is there for a year. You know, Jacoby Brissett, you know, they may not move him, but they might. So, you know, he could move somewhere, which means maybe a backup somewhere else ends up somewhere. Well, you know, then what happens to somebody like Brian Hoyer? You know, so Brian Hoyer wouldn't be, you know, crazy expensive, but, you know, he would be a guy that, like, you know, I think ends up, you know, kind of being a good backup somewhere. So, you know, you got the Brian Hoyer situation. You know, then you're going to have the draft. You know, guys are going to get drafted. And so the situation in, you know, in Miami could change significantly. And, you know, wherever Jameis Winston goes, you know, is going to change the situation. So I just think there's going to be so much movement with guys because there's still so much movement to happen kind of at the top of, you know, quarterback depth charts places that, look, it could end up being Andy Dalton. It could end up, you know, it could end up being a lot of people, quite honestly. You start to look around that way. I think there's going to be a bunch of changes in, you know, with the Chargers. So, you know, Foles could be on the move. I mean, there's just so many other things I think could happen that I don't think the Titans need to move quickly on it. I do think that their budget for the position is going to be on the low end.
Rivers to the Colts. What do you think that does to the AFC South? How much do you think he's got left in the tank, and what kind of fit is he?
I think that I will say this. I was a little bit surprised, and I think I made the comment to you. Like, sometimes we connect the dots with a guy that's, you know, a player that's been with a coach before, you know, always assuming that the experience was, you know, generally, you know, a positive one or an overwhelmingly positive one. And I had kind of heard some things that, you know, Frank Reich wasn't necessarily going to be in a situation where, you know, he was dying to get his hands on Phillip Rivers. Now, that might not have been true, and, you know, now that he ends up there. But so I wasn't positive that was definitely going to happen. Look, you know, Does he improve the quarterback situation there? I think that he probably does. Does Phillip have, you know, some left in the tank? Yeah, I think so. With a good offensive line, I think a defense that's getting better. I like their running back situation quite a bit. I think he can improve the play there. But, like, does it all of a sudden make them this, you know, favorite because of, you know, what Phillip's accomplished throughout his career? I don't believe so.
Tim, as we speak, your colleague Adam Schefter has reported a trade. Jacksonville is sending quarterback Nick Foles to Chicago for the Bears' compensatory fourth-round pick. What do you think about that move of putting Nick Foles in Chicago?
Well, I mean, look what it does now, right? So now, okay, Foles is now out of Jacksonville. Well, so now if you're Jacksonville, you need to now your budget for backup quarterback, if assuming Minshew is the starter, just increased. Like, you need to go sign somebody that's played a lot of football, I think, if you're Jacksonville.
So why not just sign Jameis?
And maybe you do, but if you don't, you know, you got to figure out, like, do you want him to be your starter, you know? And then I think that Jameis could be, you know, the solution there, but I think you're doing that with Foles trying to go with Minshew as a starter is my guess of why they're doing that. And so, and then the situation in Chicago, I don't think they're moving, you know, Mitch Trubisky based on this, but, you know, that certainly makes that situation really interesting. And, you know, it's not all that different, I guess, than, you know, what the Titans did a year ago and signing Ryan Tannehill when they had a guy that was drafted, you know, top 10 at the quarterback position and who wasn't necessarily playing at the level that they thought he would. So that's what I mean about this quarterback movement. I mean, I just, you know, Jameis, you know, Flacco to a lesser extent, Andy Dalton's played a lot of football. I mean, I just, and then it's not, you're not going to have Brissett and Hoyer in Indy. There's going to be a lot of movement still.
What do you think LA ends up doing? The Chargers, I should say.
Yeah. I don't know. I do know that there are people that think Tyrod Taylor can play at a starter level. You know, he's probably a stopgap situation, but I could think at this point, seeing the movement that's already happened, I think that Tyrod Taylor is probably their opening day starter.
And, of course, we've got to get your thoughts on what Houston has done. We were all shocked. We saw the rumors that, hey, DeAndre Hopkins could be on the trading block, and we scoffed at that. And then an hour later, Billy O pulled it off. What do you make of that whole situation, Tim, and how, you know, the things that are coming out that Bill O'Brien and Hopkins didn't get along, and that was a part of the reason that they made the move. But it just seems like a head-scratcher to me.
Yeah, it is a head scratcher, and I get like, hey, guys don't get along and stuff. You know, Bill O'Brien is a, I would say he's abrasive, but he's a tough, direct guy, and I don't think he's sugarcoating things, and sometimes star players don't always like that. And I know there's some stuff that's come out, even though DeAndre Hopkins has said it's been blown out of proportion about, you know, their communication. But Look, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the probably three best receivers in the NFL, and, you know, you traded him away for basically a guy whose production has completely disappeared. I think David Johnson might even be close to 28 years old or around 28 years old. It seems one-sided. Seems like they were just trying to move on, and, you know, I just don't ever feel like that's generally a good thing. Now, if you're a Titans fan, I mean, I think it's great news. I mean, it's when you look at the offensive production, especially in the passing game, that DeAndre Hopkins has meant to the Houston Texans since he's been there, it's going to be like facing a completely different team now without him.
No doubt about it. By the way, have you seen the SportsCenter Greatest Anchors Tournament?
Oh, I haven't.
The Field of 64 that's out there?
No.
You'll have to check it out.
Really?
Yeah, they've got the one seeds are Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, okay. Stuart Scott, Scott Van Pelt. The two seeds are Bob Lee, Chris Berman, Rich Eisen, Linda Cohn. And it does this, you know, it's basically an NCAA tournament. Jason Barrett put it out there, Barrett Sports Media, and it's getting a lot of run on Twitter, so you ought to go check it out.
That's good. That's good to check out. I don't know if I can do that because I still work with some of those people. I wouldn't want to knock somebody out, you know? Like when I talk to you guys, I have no problem being like, obviously I like Chase more than I like either of you guys. Like, I mean, I'm okay doing that.
Well, thanks.
Look,
I wouldn't want to do it with sports and anchors.
Especially if you get a second round matchup between Wingo and Rich Eisen. I mean, that's a big one right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that in mind, we have two more late entries.
Okay.
So you have one.
I have
there,
one.
I have one that I think is a grand slam.
I've got two that I think are grand slams, but
these are family movies for family viewing.
One I trust for sure. The other one, I'm 97% sure, so I'm going to start with that one, The Blind Side. Okay. I don't believe there's anything in The Blind Side. I think that is a good family movie.
Yes, and you know what? They have seen that one.
They've seen The Blind Side.
I would agree with you. They've seen that. Well, they actually watched that without me, Elizabeth, and I had them watch that without me.
Okay. All right, the other one that I know is safe, and this is good, and it's a more recent one. And I doubt you guys have seen it. It's got Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts in it. It's called Wonder. Write that one down.
That one
Wonder.
I haven't seen.
It's a really good movie.
You know,
really good.
That one has been. Yeah, we haven't seen that one, and I think that's a book as well, right?
Yes,
I think that book has been read in the home.
Yes, it's good, clean, family fun. It is a good family movie.
Okay, and then here's another
so
one. That
Wonder, write that one down.
We got via Twitter. Courtney, I'll give you props on this one because this is a great call. The original Karate Kid. That is to me, that's a home run. I don't know if you've seen it, Tim. Have you seen it?
I can't believe you didn't say that first.
I love that movie.
It's a good one.
That can be a 10 and up for sure. Mr. Miyagi at his best and Elizabeth Shue. Come on, who didn't have a little bit of a crush on Elizabeth Shue back in the day?
These are good. I do feel like the ones that we watch, whatever that time frame is, right? Late 80s. The soundtracks on those are outstanding.
Oh yeah.
And there is part of me like, well, you have to see that, right? Like,
we have a lot of guy. Tim. Like, when you say like for your age range or your family in particular. There's a lot of 80s movies that are PG, whereas now it seems like there's a lot less PG. It's either PG-13 or G, right? I mean, so we're looking for that wheelhouse where, you know, most of the people are old enough to maybe handle PG-13, but not everybody. So,
yeah. No, that's a fair point. And the other aspect of that is that you do have to be cautious of is PG back then encompassed quite a bit.
Yes, yeah. There's a little wider range of the PG, yeah.
I didn't realize that was in there. Okay.
Right,
okay,
there might be a little bit of that.
Movie,
yeah.
But we're having a family discussion. Okay, here we go.
So we're trying to stay in that safe zone there. Yeah.
Hey, listen, we got a handful with some homeschooling that's going to happen. I wish there hit up some of these conversations earlier than planned. I don't know. If
yeah.
Well, speaking of safe zones, you guys be safe, and we appreciate the time as always, and
right.
We'll do it again next week.
Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday starting at noon. We always enjoy those visits. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. We're all going to get to know how strong our families are in the upcoming future. That's what we're about to embark on because we're going to spend more time around our families than we ever have.
We just checked in on the Hasselbeck house. Now we're going to, at 1 o'clock, check in on the Mason house.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dance-off videos between the Donicks and the Masons, that's been good.
Well, the baton has been passed. Let's see who's coming up next. You guys are free to join in. Right, we're looking to see who's up next. We've challenged Hal Gill. He is not. He's been kind of low key as to whether he's going to respond to the challenge.
Where is Skillsy?
Well, look, you
is
know,
he here?
You know that he
Skillsy,
will come.
They,
did he go on spring break?
They went on a vacation.
Yeah,
and so I, you know, honestly,
I've got friends.
I really hope that they can get back safely and everything goes according to plan.
You know, we had Dr. Peter Cobb on last Friday, and after that interview, the next day they left for Hawaii. And he did text me yesterday and said, I hope we can get back. They're not scheduled to come back, I think, until Sunday.
And we know it's a very
And I've got a lot of friends
target.
Down in Florida, the Florida beaches. And I'm not sure how much longer the Florida beaches are going to be open for spring break.
Yep.
Right now they are because I'm getting pictures. They're currently open. But you're going to find out how much your family really loves you. We're going to spend a lot of time together, and so there you go. The Hasselbecks, they're spending time together because he brought up a good point. You know, even when, let's say, we get our, air quotes, downtime, we probably gravitate to something sports because there's something always there. Now, this is a whole new, you know, something all brand new that the only sports you're getting right now is reruns.
Yep.
Like, I went to the Y. I told you I went. Not knowing, but I had a feeling. I was like, I'm going to go get some workouts in this week because I have a feeling the doors are going to be closed here soon. Well, sure enough, yesterday was the last one. So when I went into the men's locker room, they have a big television in there. Do you know what game they had on?
What?
I wasn't even paying attention. I could hear it. The volume was on. It was right behind me. But I'm, you know, put my stuff in the locker, and I hear Rick Barnes. I hear DJ Augustine, and I hear Kevin Durant, and I'm like,
oh wow,
I'm like, what is that? Are they showing a? Is that a Texas? I turn around, and I don't know which ESPN channel it was. They were showing Texas versus Kansas.
Well, I know somewhere they're showing, and that may be it, they're showing old tournament games, like some of the best tournament games of all time.
I think this was just obviously a Big 12 special.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or back then, was it Big 12? Yes?
Yeah.
But the minute I heard Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine and Rick Barnes, they're like, Rick Barnes is telling DJ Augustine that he needs to be more of a leader. And I was like,
yeah.
Whoa, what are they showing? I turned around, I flipped around, I was like, oh. Texas, Kansas, all right. And I caught myself watching a little bit.
I've thought about this from a programming standpoint, all these channels, right? We have all these sports channels. And so I've done this the last few nights. I'm flipping around, right? I might watch a documentary here, might watch a TV show that I like over here. But, you know, we're all mixing, watching. Hopefully, like I would recommend this. Again, we're back into the recommending. Take it for what it's worth. I do think you should take a little bit of time and make sure you're up on what's happening around you, some news coverage, wherever you choose to get it, but make sure it's coming from the right, you know, inform yourself of what's happening. But in that context, I wonder with these sports channels, right? Let's take one, the YES Network, SNY, NESN, right? Teams or channels that are going to have a lot of time on their hands, who have the ability to maybe give you a series of games and not just skip around, right? Like if you go to any ESPN channel, like you said, you might see a college game from 2008, a college game from 2015, but it's just you're all over the map. Would be interesting. Could you capture an audience that says, okay, I'm going to show you this tournament from start to finish, this run of this team or the best of this tournament for the next week? Like you use the Braves. Yeah. Chase, what if Fox Sports South or whatever that carries the Braves said, we're going to show you, this week it's the 1995 championship season or the 1982 with Dale Murphy team that sort of came out of nowhere and won the division. It was a dramatic thing. Like you could tell that story over a period of time. You have the time to do that now and not just skip around great games night in, night out. Like that kind of would be fun to sort of, because we have the time to do that now.
Right.
Whereas before, an ESPN Classic, whatever, it's all over the map.
Well, and I think it'd be fun for, like, what was supposed to be opening day in baseball. If you had, like, some classic Reds games from the 70s that, you know, the Big Red Machine that always was the first game and, you know, show some of that. You know, for me, the Braves, like, I was telling you, I don't remember the worst to first season. Like, I don't remember
1991. That would be a great story to tell.
I remember, now, I have watched Game 7, you know, I've seen what happened, but it'd be fun to relive some of that in the early days of the Braves dynasty, you know, when they started the run in the 90s. I'd be cool. You know, what we're doing on this station is we're starting tomorrow. Whenever we were supposed to air a Preds game, we're going to air a classic game.
Right.
And so we're starting tomorrow night with round 2 in 2016, game 4 against San Jose. So,
and we're doing the same on Fox Sports Tennessee. We're going to start, I believe, a Thursday, Sunday best games of this year, this season. We're going to start with that. So we'll be promoting that. It starts tomorrow night. We're going to show the 6-5 crazy game early in the season against the Capitals.
Cool.
Alex Ovechkin had a huge game. The Predators came back and won. We're going to show that tomorrow night. So we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But let's take 1991, right, for the Braves. You know, it'd be easy to pop in the World Series highlights from 1991, but what would be intriguing for me, and I don't know if you'd have the audience, but you have the time, right? You could show different chapters of that season. Like the beginning of the season when expectations are low, you could watch a game from there, and you might have no idea. I wouldn't have any idea if the team won that night.
Right.
Right? Or how they won. So you could show that. Then you could show sort of the turn, some key games that they go from being this group of nobodies to they might win this thing. You know, you could tell the story on a little bit longer curve because you have time and you have nightly chapters. I'm curious if anybody goes that route on channels that they basically have to show a game every night. They have nothing else they can show. So show it in a little bit more of a chronological long play rather than just bounce around season to season, game to game.
like opening day for that year would have been John Smoltz on the mound against the Dodgers.
This is 91?
In 91. That was opening day, April 10th. A little later than usual.
Great place to start.
The St. Jude Rock and Roll Marathon, which is a big deal in our town, scheduled for April 25th through the 26th, has been postponed. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or Rock and Roll Marathon, is going to be postponed, and they're going to try to come up with a new date. No surprise there, but just wanted to put that out there that they have made that official, and they are not going to be doing it as scheduled at the end of April. So we will come back, close up hour number three next. General Motors putting out that they are going to, their company is going to begin a suspension of manufacturing operations in North America due to market conditions and a deep clean of all their facilities so they can continue to protect the people. So
a lot of businesses
that will affect a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully do their part to flatten the curve.
No doubt. The Chargers look to sign defensive tackle Linval Joseph from the Vikings. Remember, he was with the Vikings, so he's a big, big space eater on that defensive line. Big boy. Looks like the Chargers are going to sign him. Looks like Malcolm Jenkins is getting close to signing with the Saints.
Going back. Yep.
Leaving Philly.
We got a text on the text line about showing old games. Kathleen says they can show the 2017 Astros World Series run so people can count trash can hits. If I can joke about this, so can you.
It would be interesting to go back and listen to that.
Knowing what we know now.
Knowing what we know. Looks like Delanie Walker is drawing interest right now from the Redskins, the Colts, and the Packers. So Packers lose Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Redskins, what's the deal on their tight end, who's really good, who's always hurt? I'm drawing blanks. Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
Always hurt. He plays maybe 8 games a year. He's really good, but he's just always hurt. And what's the deal with Indy? Is Ebron gone?
Yeah, I don't think they're bringing Ebron back, from what I've heard.
So that is interesting. Rivers to Delanie Walker.
Well, and Jack Doyle still.
Aaron Rodgers to Delanie Walker. Yeah, Jack Doyle, but still.
I think the Colts, as much as I would hate to see it, I think the Colts would actually be a good fit for him.
I do too, unfortunately.
I hope, because Delaney's such a good guy, I hope he lands somewhere. I hope his career's not over.
I think he will. I think somebody's going to give him a shot.
I think you need to see what he looks like in camp.
I think, quite honestly, if he gets hurt again,
that's it.
It's probably it. It's not probably. It's it.
I would love to see a situation where he comes back and retires a Titan, but because he definitely had his most successful years here. But look, I think the Colts would be a good fit for him. If that is indeed where he lands,
Alexander Radulov has been tested for COVID-19, and the results are back. And thankfully, he was negative.
That's important because right as he missed a game against the Predators, right after he played a game against the Predators.
That's correct.
Well, he was not feeling well, and so that's comforting. But unfortunately, there was a story that broke earlier this morning that there is a player, unnamed, with the Ottawa Senators that tested positive. That's the first one, I believe, that the league has reported, knowing that there are probably some people out there in all walks of life that have probably been infected that don't know it, because we still haven't tested a whole lot of people here. We're trying to work on that diligently right now, but it's going to be a long period of time before you get to that point. So that's good news on Radulov, though. Happy that that's the case. I mean, you guys saw after we got off the show yesterday, Kevin Durant, right?
Yep.
Kevin Durant tested positive yesterday.
Yep. I did see that.
Wow.
And four members of the Nets.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he might be one of them. I'm not sure. Of course, he hasn't played.
But he's been around the team, right? I mean,
I would guess.
Every time I see their games, isn't he always sitting right behind the bench?
He's not showing any symptoms either. He spoke to a reporter from The Athletic and said that he was hanging around the team and didn't even know he had it. So he was one of those asymptomatic.
Donovan Mitchell said the same thing? Like, mm-hmm. he has no
right.
symptoms at all?
Andrew Gobert.
That's the scary part about all of this is how fast it can spread from people that aren't feeling the symptoms. They don't know you have it, so you've continued on with your routine and not knowing that you may have passed it along to somebody. That's how it spreads. That's how it is
right.
spreading.
Well, look, and that's why you just have to flatten the curve.
Gotta flatten the curve.
All right, we'll come back. Fourth and final hour. We start with our weekly chat with Chris Mason. We do that every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and we'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.